Could we turn to the last chapter in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66? Isaiah chapter 66, at the end of verse 12, you have a lovely expression, be dandled upon her knees. We don't often use the word dandled, but I'm sure you know what it means. A little baby or child dandled upon its mother's knees. Verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Let's look to the Lord, please, with our Bible open. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee for the wonder of this verse, that God would condescend to give us such a lovely picture of how much he cares and loves for his people. Lord, help us to enter into the depths of this wonderful promise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We're human, therefore we're all born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And that means at times in our life we all will need comforting. We all will need the time to receive comfort. Maybe it's a time of bereavement when the cold, icy hands of death creep into the family circle and snatch away a loved one. I'll be attending the funeral of a friend that this afternoon, his wife's 49, just died a couple of days ago. And we all know what it's like to have death come into the family circle. At that time, we need comfort. I was participating at the funeral of the mother of the Reverend McElveen on Thursday, and I mentioned this verse and quoted it. Like as a mother comforteth her children, so will I comfort you. I've never preached upon this verse before, though I've mentioned it often, at times of bereavement for those who have lost a mother, but what a tremendous text. I've been thinking upon it. Tremendous words. As one whom his mother comforteth. Now, before we get into the text, we do need to mention, of course, that it doesn't mean that God is our mother. On Wednesday night, we took the words in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father. And we pointed out that the Bible teaches that God is a father. Now, some feminists today have taken verses like this as an excuse, and they say we ought not just to pray to God our Father, that gives a wrong conception to people's minds. And we ought to pray to the Mother Goddess. And we ought to pray, O God, our Mother. And they actually have in some denominations introduced hymns where God is not referred to as Father, but he's referred to as our Mother and our Father, or maybe even as our Mother. Now that is not right. God is a Father. Now it's no slight upon ladies, of course. It's no slight upon ladies at all. But the Bible clearly teaches that Almighty God is our Father. But what the verse is saying is that God is our Father, but he cares for us the way a mother would. The Apostle Paul, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's writing back to the church and he's saying, when I was pastor among you, I was among you like a father. I was like a father to you. And then he says this, I was among you like a nurse. Actually, the literal Greek means, I was among you like a nursing mother. In other words, with all the tenderness and the comfort of a mother with a little tiny infant. He said, you know, and he challenged him, says, you know that I behaved towards you like a father to his children, and I behaved to you like a nursing mother to her children. That's how I was among you. And what God is saying here, he's comparing himself in the New Testament and in the Old. He compares himself to a mother hen. Compares himself to a mother hen in Psalm 91. And also in the New Testament. Now, Of course, what utter blasphemy to think we should pray to God as if he's a bird. Of course not. So, God is a father. Just to underline that, because you may come across some people today who say we ought to talk about Mother God. And I'm saying it's right. There are some hymn books around the world in some churches, and they're substituting the word mother for father, putting them both in. That's not the teaching of Scripture. They're theological reasons. It's not a theological study this morning, but they're important doctrinal reasons that God is our Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But let's get into the text. Think of this great text. I've been picking out some things as I thought about it this week. I want you to notice who are comforted. Who receives the comfort? So will I comfort you. Who are the you? You know, if you got a letter through your door and it was addressed to a name you never heard of, and you open it up and there's a check made out to that person's name, now you don't run to your wife and say, we're rich. You'd say, but that's not your name. That's not for you. You can't cash it. You can't cash it. Who are the you that the Lord is talking about here? Is it everybody? No, that can't be right. Go back to verse 5. Here are the you. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. The you are those who know what it is to tremble at the word of God. Have you ever trembled at this book? Did you tremble when you realize that God is righteous, that God is holy, that God sees everything you do, that God hears not only what you say, but that God knows every thought that has passed into your mind, every thought that you have allowed your imagination to dwell upon, that it's open and naked before him with whom we have to do? Have you ever trembled when you realize you'll stand before God and give an account of every single thing you've done or thought? Does that not fill you with terror? Have you trembled at the thought of the awfulness, the heinousness, the hellishness of your sin? Well, the people in the text, the you, are those who've trembled at the word of God. You know the hymn, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Have you ever trembled at the thought of Calvary? Have you ever stood? Yes, you've heard the story of the cross, that God the Son became man, and there he went to that tree. But have you ever stopped to really think that this is the sinless one, the spotless one, the one who never did any evil, thought any evil, knew any evil? And yet, look at the suffering. Have you ever thought about those 3 hours of darkness when Christ not only suffered at the hands of men, but the billows of God's wrath against sin went over our Saviour's soul? Have you ever trembled at how he suffered? You know, we just sang the hymn a few moments ago. When free grace awoke me with light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. Have you ever been to that place? No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah, my righteousness, I ken you, my Saviour must be. Have you ever trembled to the extent that you realize that if you're ever going to stand before God, you need to be absolutely perfect? Nobody who has any sin upon them will ever be in heaven. One. If you've ever sinned once in your life, you'll never be in heaven. Unless that sin is covered. Unless that sin is dealt with. Have you ever trembled when you thought about that? But if you trembled enough to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness, that there on the cross Christ took the sins of all who trust in him, and he died. Have you ever trembled? Has your trembling brought you to the cross? Have you come in fear and trembling and said, Lord, I'm a sinner and guilty, but Lord, I've no righteousness. I'm only a sinner. But Lord, you've promised that Jesus Christ can be made unto me righteousness, and I take him and trust him. Have you ever done that? You know what this text is saying? There's a wonderful promise to you this morning. You that have trembled at his word, repented, in faith turned to Christ alone as your Saviour, and you say this morning, my hope is not on anything I do, not on my prayers, not on some great faith I have, not on anything. My hope is in Christ alone. Well then, this verse is for you. Who is comforted? But I want you to notice it's very important. Who does the comforting? Who comforts? Well, the text tells you. I will comfort you. So will I. I, who's the I? Well, verse 12 tells you, the Lord. For thus saith Jehovah, the Holy God, the person of the Trinity. Think about it. God the Father. We read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, didn't we? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. God the Father comforts his people. He sent his only begotten Son into this world for them. You remember the lovely verse in Romans 8:32, one we should memorize. It tells us that God the Father gave God the Son. Of course, God the Son was willing to come, but God the Father gave his Son to die on Calvary. He spared him not. How shall he not with him freely also give us all things? He'll give you everything you need. God is everything you need, God the Father. What about God the Son? If we took time to turn back to chapter 61... in this same book of Isaiah, it says when Messiah comes, he will come. What does it say? He will come to bind the brokenhearted and comfort all who mourn. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to be, as Luke 2:25 says, the consolation, the comfort of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, he, as it were, put his arms around those who were weary, those who were worn, those who were sad. Those who were sick, whether emotionally, physically, spiritually. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, he comforts. He came to comfort. He went to the cross so that we could be comforted from the guilt of our sin. He brings comfort. We're told in Corinthians that he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, everything we need. In him are hid all the treasures. Do you know, if you're one of the you who trembled at God's word and trust him, everything you will need for every circumstance in life is in the person of Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, is not an easy one to talk about. God the Spirit comforts. What's his name in John 14 and John 16? What did the Savior say? I'm going away to his disciples. He said that. Behold, I will send the Comforter. The Comforter. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is given to the Christian. He lives within you, believer. When you were saved, you received the Comforter. And he lives within you to comfort you. You see, God is the source of all comfort. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You say, well, hold on a minute, Mr. Johnson. I remember when I was going through a bad patch, very sorrowful, there was a friend came and comforted me. Right? But who enabled that friend to give you comfort? God. You see, God has cornered the market in all comfort. If you receive any true comfort, it comes from him. People say, oh, but I've got comfort from possessions. I've comfort from this. I've comfort from the other thing. No, no, no. That's not lasting comfort. True, real comfort is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the hymn, Abide With Me? Can you picture Henry Francis Light on the last Sunday? He was well enough to preach to his congregation there in Brixham. And this week I was talking to a man in Brixham, or from Brixham in Bangor. Never met him before, began to talk, and he told me he's over from Brixham working in this area just for a few weeks. I was chatting to him, and I told him about this hymn. It gave me an opportunity to talk about the hymn that Henry Francis Light wrote the very last Sunday he could ever preached. Still in his 40s, a man who was so ill, and he penned the words that Sunday afternoon before he went to France, where he died a few weeks later, going there to try and recuperate in the heat. Abide with me. What did he write? Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers
fail and comforts flee. See, all earthly comforts flee. Help of the helpless, O abide with me. True comfort is only found in God.
Who are comforted? The you, those that tremble at his word. Who comforts? The Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. But what's the way in which he comforts? Well, it tells you, as a mother, verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth. Oh, I know in the Psalms we read, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. But you know, there's something about a family that a father can pity his child, but a mother's good at bringing comfort and care. Just the way mothers are made. A mother is good at bringing care. How does a mother comfort her child? Well, of course, I've written down some. She does it fondly. There's a way of taking care of the sick. Here, take this medicine. Does a mother do that with her sick child? No, she doesn't. She brings it over. She takes the medicine. If I remember my children, she'd go, oh, here, and the mother would pretend to taste it, or even, here now, come on, open your mouth. She'll do it fondly. She'll not do it at arm's length. She'll draw the child in close. Now, when the little child has a sore head, what'll the mother do? Come on, son, come here, put your head against me. Lie against me. Come up into my arms. I'll hold you. We've all seen the mother, and you mothers maybe have done it. And you hold the little child, and you're rocking the child in your arms, seeking to comfort it. And God, Almighty God, says to the Christian, that's the way I'll comfort you. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon earth, the weary, the sin-sick, he comforted them. And our risen Saviour is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That lovely paraphrase we sometimes sing, number 53, based on Hebrews. What does it say? In every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows had a part. He sympathizes with our grief, and to the sufferer sends relief. The Lord cares for his people fondly or tenderly. He cares for them sympathetically. There's something about a mother caring for her young child that as she lays her hand upon the throbbing head of a sick child in its fever and pain, there's a sense in which she feels the pain. She feels the pain of the child. And that's true of our Lord. He weeps with us in our weeping. He sorrows with us in our sorrow. What a wonderful text this is. What a wonderful text. Like, as a mother comforted her child? Personally. The mother's doing it personally. She's not sending somebody else to do it. She does it. She does it. I remember reading a story of a soldier in Vietnam who was blinded fighting for the U.S. Army. His mind was clouded. He went through horrors. Brought back to the United States, his mother travelled 2,000 miles to where he was in the hospital. She walked into that ward, and the story's told that she just went over the bed and didn't say a word. And in this blind soldier injured in battle, she just put her hand upon his brow. And he said, Mother, is that you? He just sensed that it wasn't one of the nurses or one of the doctors. That's Mum. She's here. She's here. And the Lord comes personally. And you know, even if it's a little tiny bruise the child has, and he falls down, come here to give you a wee cuddle. Come here just to hold you. You'll be all right. Come here and I'll kiss it better. You ever done that, mothers? Of course you have. What does God say here? Like as a mother comfort of her children. The Lord's gracious. The Lord's tender. He's there personally to hold us. Was it some mother, it might have been Susanna Wesley, but some mother was asked when she had many children in the family, she had 17, Susanna Wesley, which child do you love most? Says, the one who's sick until he gets well, and the one who's away until he gets home again. She loved them all equally, but her special love went out to them. She loves them, and I use a big word here, assiduously. What that word means is, in every way to help. You see, the mother will try. You know what it's like when a baby's really paining, a sore ear or sore throat, and you can't comfort them, and they're crying and crying. Been there, done it. We had four children. Now you have grandchildren, and they're crying. What does the mother do? Here, sit on the knee, still uncomfortable, and say, I'll go away. I've tried to come. No, 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 no. Here, sit on the other knee. Here, go this way. Go. We'll try and try and try again to comfort the child in its pain. That's what a mother does. She doesn't give up. She comforts. She'll stay up all night if need be. And is that what the Lord does with us? He's given us promise after promise after promise in His Word. Not just one, not just two. Of course, the mother comforts her child sacrificially. Oh, what stories of great sacrifices that mothers have made for their child. The woman will go through the pain of the pregnancy and the delivering the child, but then when the child is going through its life, think of the mother hen I talked about, protecting its child. Maybe some of you have witnessed animals, even on the farm, and you're taking away the young calf or the young animal. Why, what the mother will try and do to get that child back. And the Lord said to the city of Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a hen to gather her chickens under her wings. In other words, when there's danger, she'll call them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He actually did die for us. He gave His very life so that we could be protected. He sacrificed Himself. He was forsaken so that we, His children, would never be forsaken. He comforts us sacrificially. We could say defensively. I mentioned before the bear. That's Hosea 13 and 8. It says, God compares His protection, listen, Hosea 13:8, to a mother bear whose whelps, that's the word for cubs, have been taken away. I wouldn't like to fight with a bear when you've taken away the cubs. God says that's what I'll be when people come to attack my children. You know, a mother will be so defensive of her child. Don't you touch my child. I'll protect it. And God says, that is exactly what I will do for you. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Psalm 91. Again, picture of the mother hen. There's no protector like a mother. One other one. Like as a mother comforted with her children. Oh yes, sympathetically and tenderly and sacrificially, defensively and so on. But thank God, continually. Continually. Most mothers, even when a child strays, she still loves the child. She's still ready to forgive. She's still ready to comfort that child. What does that lovely hymn say? Though I forget him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Like as a mother comforted with her children, so will I comfort you. But you know, He says, like as a mother comforted with her children. But you know, I could add to that text in the sense, it's even greater than the way a mother comforted her children. But remember chapter 49, if you go back to it. Chapter 49. He says in verse 15, the prophet asked this question. Actually, it's God speaking, but the prophet's writing it. And in chapter 49, verse 15, he asks the question, can a woman, that's a mother, forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? In other words, are there mothers in this world without any love or concern or care or compassion for their own son? Yes, there are mothers today, and they abandon their children. Some abort their children. Some abuse their children. And when we read about it or hear about it, we're disgusted. We're dismayed. We're righteously indignant. that a mother would show such lack of compassion and comfort and care for the child which she's given birth. Can a mother forget her child? Yes, she can. But look what it says. They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thank God, my name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains and marks of indelible grace. He'll never forget you. He'll never forget his people. His love is even greater than mother's love. You see, on Calvary, he stretched out his hands, suffered for his people. And it's as if your name is engraved right in. That's a picture, of course. But what it's saying is, if you were to take and engrave a name upon the palms, it's there. It's there. We're not talking about a tattoo. It can be taken away. Actually engraved right in. They're there. Your names. Names of every one of his people. What God is saying to us, he's using human pictures, human terminology, to reassure us that he'll never forget you. It'd be enough for God just to say that, I'll never forget you. That would be so wonderful. But he said, look, I'll never forget you. It's as if I'll write your very name, engrave it into the very flesh of my hand. That's how close you are. That's how precious you are. Your name's, it's engraved right in the flesh of my hand and in his heart. He will never, never forget you. Never forget you. Do you remember as a child when you hurt? You went along to your mother and she lifted you up. And you whispered in her ear. You told her your problems. And she turned to you and whispered, don't worry, it'll all be all right. Don't worry. Just you sleep. Just put your head in my bosom and go to sleep and rest. It'll all be all right. And stop your crying. That's the picture God wants us to think about this morning. Maybe you did not have a mother like that. Could be. Maybe your mother had died, I don't know, young. But you all know what I'm talking about, that picture. And this morning God is saying, in a far greater way, you can draw near to me and I'll put my arms of love around about you. Who are comforted? Those who tremble at his word. Who does the comforting? God. What way does he comfort? Like as a mother. One last thought in the verse. Look at the last words. Talks about it where this comfort takes place. You see it? You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. What does that mean? Well, Jerusalem was where the people were living. And they were going to be besieged by the Babylonians. In other words, God is saying, right where you have your trouble, right where your trial comes, right in that difficulty, he's going to be right there to comfort you. Isn't that wonderful? Right there. Just the time you need him. He's always near. He's right there at the very time of trouble. But you know that Jerusalem means more than the literal city. It's used figuratively in the Bible. Galatians 4 talks about Jerusalem as a picture of the church, the mother of us all. Now, we're saved through Christ, of course, but it's talking about the church. You remember in Hebrews 12, it says the church is pictured by the Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. In other words, when you come to church, you're coming to spiritually Jerusalem. What Jerusalem was in the Old Testament, the center, the place of worship, we meet in the church. In other words, where does the Lord comfort? In the church. I'm glad you've made it this morning to the service. You know why? Because this is the very place where God gives us comfort. When you meet with the people of God in the church, you can receive comfort from your fellow believers today as you meet here in this church. Your fellow believers can give you even a warm handshake or I'm thinking of you or praying for you. They can give you a word of comfort. He uses believers to do it. Of course, as we meet together, where does he comfort? in the church while the book is open. That's what we're doing this morning. We're opening the book. And as the church of God meets, God gives his people comfort. How? Through the Bible. Through the promises of the word of God. Comfort ye my people, Isaiah 40 verse 1. He will comfort you like a mother in Jerusalem. But of course, Jerusalem was the place where Christ was crucified. Just outside its city's walls, there he was crucified. You know where you'll find comfort? At the cross. At the cross. When you come to worship the Lord, and of course today as we come to worship, we come to think of Calvary above everything. And our comfort is found at the cross. Sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. I love the story of a well-known American preacher who went to Israel on his first trip. And he went to what's called Gordon's Calvary and the tomb there. Most scholars believe it's the site where Christ was crucified. Some do believe it's in the church with Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox of massive structure. But most evangelical scholars believe it's there just beside a bus station. Just behind it there's a hill that looks shaped like a skull, named after General Gordon, who by his studies felt that's where the site was. It's not so important where the site, we thank God it happened, but he was visiting at this site. And the guide said to him, "Have you ever been here before? Have you ever been here before?" And the preacher smiled and he said, "This is my first visit to Israel, but I've been here thousands of times." This is my first visit to Israel, but I've been here thousands of times. What did he mean? He meant spiritually, by faith, he had been to the place of the cross. He had been to that Calvary and seen the Savior died, and that's where you get the greatest comfort. When you come to God's house, and the book's opened, and we sing about the cross, and we're reminded again of how the Savior shed his blood on that middle tree. And as you see him there by faith, dying, suffering, your name's upon his hands, doing all that for you. That's when your doubts and fears go. That's where you're given assurance. That's where you're given comfort. Are you discouraged this morning? Run to Christ. Just like you did as a little child. When you hurt, you ran to your mother. Run to Christ. Are you lonely this morning? Run to Christ. Are you hurting physically, emotionally, spiritually? Flee to Christ. Let him put up arms of love around about you. Feel the heartbeat. That little chick as it runs under the mother hen's wings. The mother hen closes its wings around about it. You know that in under the breast here is the down. You used to put the down in the pillows. The softest, softest feathers. And that little bird is in there so cozy, so warm, so safe. It can hear the heartbeat of its mother. And thank God this morning you can flee to Christ. And you can feel his heartbeat of love. Isn't it sad, though, that the Lord said on one occasion, "How often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chickens, her children, under her wings? But you wouldn't come. You wouldn't come." And he saw that judgment was coming. Judgment was coming. Thank God this morning Christ is freely offered in the gospel. If you're sin sick this morning, want to be sure that your sins are forgiven, run to Christ. Run to Christ. Let's sing together.